Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. It is Sunday morning. It's 7 minutes after 9. And we are live here this morning. We have a full studio. Luke Moss in the house. Luke, thanks for being with me today. I know we only have an hour, and that's the only reason you wanted to come. Ryan Ely here, producer for almost the last, well, over the last 10 years. Here to take your phone calls and questions and patch that through. And me here, Wes Moss, every Sunday morning. 9 to 11 today, 9 to 10, of course, because Bulldog Brunch coming up right after the show. And it's our first taste of winter here, and I'm happy to be here. Phone lines open today, 404-872-0750. Because we only have an hour, I know that we had a lot of calls last week we weren't able to get to. So if you have questions that have been building up this week about markets as we finally pull back on markets, your question about your own retirement, we're here. I mean, listen, we got 1 hour. Let's do it. The number here in the studio, again, 404-872-0750. And we are in, what are we talking about today? Tax purgatory. We are stuck in this tax on, tax off, corporate yes, corporate no, cuts or not. Who's going to get a tax increase? Who's going to get a tax decrease? The numbers look as though less and less people, from what I can tell, are going to get a whole lot of material, anything. And we want to talk about what actually is going to move the meter for you with this new tax cut that we think is coming at some point in the distant, not so distant future. There's going to be a lot of wrangling about taxes, how it's going to impact you in particular. Are you a small business owner? You get a W-2 wage, you 1099. How do you save for retirement? What bracket are you in? Married? Not married, estate tax, no estate tax, Senate plan, you name it, it's confusing. So we're here to answer those questions and try to walk you through what this might mean, how you can prepare for it on a Sunday morning. So let's start with that. Finally, a break in the momentum. And again, by the way, give us a call here in the studio. We want to get your questions on in this next hour, and we're ready to do that. The number here, give us a call, 404-872-0750, the number in the studio. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. So we finally get this break in the market's run. I mean, the statistics here are pretty remarkable. Just for the week, Dow down about 0.5%, the S&P 500 down about 0.25%, and that ends a very long winning streak, an 8-week winning streak. But this is even more remarkable. So we haven't even had a 0.5% correction in the S&P 500 for one of the longest streaks that we have ever seen. And I go back to Thursday of this week, there was a day that markets sold off pretty significantly. Again, worried about tax reform, tax on, tax off, Senate pushing the tax cuts out for corporations into 2019. Market didn't like that. Down over 1% on the day, looking like it was gonna end the streak. Then all of a sudden, at the end of the day, markets kind of rallied back higher. So S&P 500 only closed down about 0.4%. That is the longest. So that's a 47-day streak without even a 5% correction. That's the longest streak we've seen since 1965. That's 52 years. We haven't seen anything this placid. So things are going to get choppier. And I think Thursday is a preview of markets getting more volatile as we go through this sausage-making process that is so difficult, and that is tax reform. We are in this scenario where everything that trickles out of Washington will start to move markets. So we have tax reform on, tax reform off, corporate cuts. When are they going to happen? If they're going to happen. So not only do markets, not only are they confused whether, if we're going to have tax reform, there's also the question, if we get it, what's it going to look like? And we touched on this last week. I am not seeing, and I keep looking at different scenarios for different families and different income ranges, and I'm not seeing a huge tax benefit for most people. Maybe $500, $400, maybe $1,500, maybe $2,000 from the most of what I'm seeing. And the Tax Foundation or Tax Policy Center, I've seen a ton of reports that are very misleading, that says that these super high tax earners or super high income folks are getting this giant tax cut. And I'm just not seeing that. So you've got these. So think about, and we have a lot of folks that listen to Money Matters that are probably in a really high tax bracket. Are people listening that make over $1 million a year? Absolutely. People listening today make a couple $1 million a year? Absolutely. So the super high earners, and from everything I could tell leading up to tax reform, you would see a little bit of a break. But from what I can tell, there might not be a break or a tax break coming at all. So here's an example. So somebody making, let's say, $1 million, they could see, because of where the new brackets are placed, I could see a $25,000 tax cut in that range. And if you're married filing jointly, let's look at the $1.2 million a year up range. Now, don't tune out just because, oh, that's just for the super rich. This affects everyone. The tax cut, the reason you get a little bit of a tax cut on the brackets is that the highest tax bracket doesn't kick in until a lot later. The way taxes are now, you hit if you're married filing jointly around 450 grand, you start to hit that highest bracket. Now the new brackets in both the Senate plan and the House plan doesn't kick in until, let's call it, 1 million. Couples 1.2. So you get a little bit of a tax cut on where the brackets are, but then you lose the state and local tax deduction. Now, the Senate plan has, you lose the whole thing. The House plan says you can keep 10 grand worth of deduction. But think about how much that impacts the bottom line. $60,000. So if the same example, making $1 million a year, you're paying about we're in a relatively low tax state here in Georgia. These numbers get exacerbated in high tax states like New York and New Jersey. But in the state of Georgia, you get a $60,000 state tax deduction for that, because that's about what you'd pay in state taxes. You probably get something like a $40,000 local tax deduction. So now you're talking about a $100,000 deduction that is in both plans either going away completely or going away mostly. So what does that loss of the deduction mean? You lose a $100,000 deduction, that would cost you at least $35,000, because again, you're in a higher tax bracket. So you keep 25 more, but you lose 35. So you have a net tax increase. So the new tax plan would save you 25 grand on one end, but it would cost you an extra 35 on the other end. And then that's a net tax increase. Now, where these analyses are coming from, they might be, from what I can tell, assuming that a lot of the really high tax earners are small business owners that might get that 25% tax rate, but the House plan says it's a 70-30 split, so you only get the 25% on 30% of your income. The other 70% goes to your highest ordinary bracket. In the Senate plan, there's a bunch of different exclusions. So if you're in a service business, you're excluded from that. Or if you make over $75,000 or $100,000, you're excluded from a small business tax cut. So the Senate plan, from what I can tell, isn't quite as generous for the individual. And remember, if this gets done, and I do think it gets done by the first quarter of next year, not this year, the cuts for individuals, even if we meet somewhere in the middle, probably not a tremendous uptick. So AMT, yes, that part of it could be a big deal. So that's the alternative minimum tax. Both plans want to get rid of that. The Senate and the House, they both want to kill AMT. And if you're listening today, it probably impacts you. So this is about over 5 million Americans pay AMT. You may not know you pay AMT, but if you're in the $120,000 range all the way up to $500,000 in income, households that you could get a little bit of a break if we get rid of AMT. Now, I don't see, though, that having enough impact to really boost the entire economy, because we're still talking maybe a couple $1,000s or maybe a couple $100s, maybe a couple thousand. It's really the corporate side of these, all of these tax talks. That's what really matters to your wallet. That's what matters to you and your 401k. That's what will really impact or be the biggest benefit from the tax cut, is the corporation side. And again, if it's not going to impact your wallet specifically or directly, you've got to look at this, because we're all saving for retirement. We're all trying to get to early retirement. The opposite of what Susie Orman says, we don't want to work until we die. We want to have it a point where we don't have to work anymore. It's the investment side of this tax cut and this tax bill and reform that really matters to you. That's what I see in this tax reform bill. So what does a corporate tax cut mean for earnings? That's the question mark. I want to look at earnings today. We're going to talk about where earnings are placed today on the S&P 500, what a potential tax cut could do for earnings, and then, of course, what that does to markets. Today, there is this worry that markets are overvalued. Yes, it's not because they continue to go up. It's because they continue to trade at now forward earnings about 18 times profits. That's a little above average. So the market is starting to get a little bit of getting a little expensive. So we, on average, historically, we want to see it around, we want to see that ratio, that multiple at about 16 and a half. Today we're around 18. That's a little higher than we'd like to see. So the question is, will an increase in corporate net tax earnings because of a tax cut, how much will that really help earnings looking at it broadly? And what will that mean for markets? So that's what we're going to talk about here today. Again, number here in the studio, we want to take your calls and questions today on this chilly Sunday morning, 44 degrees on Peachtree. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. We will be able to take your calls today. 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
We are back live. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We go to the phones. The number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Brandon joins us from Seneca River. What's going on, man? How can I help?
Just had a question for you on the potential new tax codes and some of the deductions that may be lost for individuals and households, such as state and local income tax deductions, and then also maybe property tax or mortgage interest. Would it make sense at this time to create an S-corp or sole proprietorship, kind of maybe ran through your home, in which you could still utilize those deductions if these codes get changed?
So the Senate, so both tax bills, the House and the Senate, they both give some break for small business owners. The Senate one that just came out says that if you have a small business or anything that's organized as a pass-through, what you're asking about, hey, can I put some of my businesses or my real estate in an S-corp? What they want to do is they want to help reduce your income by 17.4%. Don't ask me how they got to the 0.4. But again, let's give an advantage to a small business owner. But they're going to, from what I can tell, and this is what I've heard for a long time as this sausage is getting made, service businesses. So if you're consulting, so if you're listening and you're saying, hey, I'm my own pass-through entity, I have an S-corp or an LLC or sole proprietorship, I'm going to get a tax break under either plan, right? Well, what I'm finding is that service businesses like consulting, engineering, lawyers, medicine, financial services, the industry that I'm in, and if you're making, those would be capped if you're making more than 75 grand a year, individual, or 150,000 for a married couple. So if you look at, and it's still yet to be determined. Well, what is, if you, let's say you have five real estate company or five houses or properties inside and you put them in an S-corp, that's probably looking something like a financial services arrangement. So you may get a little bit of a break. But as soon as your income gets over 150 grand, it looks like most of these plans will take the break away anyway. So they really don't want to impact or help higher income earners. You're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. WSB Radio. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here until 10 o'clock today. So we're talking about earnings. We talk about corporate taxes. That we think is the real benefit. I want to talk through those numbers, how that could increase profits, earnings for the S&P 500. And that's what really matters to investors. I think that's where the real benefit for this tax bill comes. And I want to get to that in a minute. But before we do that, maybe we'll be a little sentimental and read an email from a reader, really, of AJC. So I write a column for the AJC, every other Tuesday in the living section about finance and I think important topics that face, that we all face, you face as you're headed to retirement. And I took real issue a couple of weeks ago with a media blitz that Susie Orman's been on, and her shtick is that, her new shtick is that you got to work till you're 70 at least. You have to work until at least 70, not a day sooner. You can't retire. So pushing the limits of how long we should be working. I look at it as that she's kind of saying, look, you got to work until you die. She doesn't want to take, doesn't want you to take Social Security till 70. Remember, you don't even break even probably until you're 81, 82. And I think it's very much a one size fits all advice. And I don't like it. So I wrote about it. And I had a lot of feedback from this article. Some folks wrote me and said, look, I'm 74. I'm still working. And I love it. So I don't agree, Wes. I think you're crazy. I love working. It's the best thing ever. But I've had many more emails on the other side. And this is one of them. And I think it's important to read. Mr. Moss, I was pleased to read your article in yesterday's AJC. I've been beating myself up for the past 2 years because I was forced to retire at 65. Health, family obligations, pressure to take on more work from my employer, does that sound familiar, by the way, made it clear I couldn't work full-time any longer. Financially, it would be tight, but I knew God would provide what I couldn't. So I have friends that are still working that are older than I because they have cars and houses and veterinary bills and a whole host of other responsibilities that I didn't or don't have. My father died at 68. He was able to take early retirement at 60, and that was a blessing because he had at least 8 years to enjoy some retirement time. I've inherited genes. I'm not overly healthy, but I pushed myself because I had to work. My mother's 95 and has excellent genes on her side of the family. When the time was right 2 years ago, I made the decision to retire, but it's bothered me ever since because I feel as though I caved in. After reading your article, I finally found peace about my decision. Too many articles lay a lot of guilt about retiring too soon or too early. How in the world can someone in my shoes save over $1 million, much less $2 million, in order to have a, quote, comfortable retirement, even when I was working over almost 50 hours a week? So, As you can tell here, and this is, again, this is an article from a reader of AJC and probably listener to WSB Radio, there is this great guilt that Wall Street lays down upon you that says, hey, no, you've got to get to $2 million before you retire. And that's just not true. And a big part of what I've worked on for so many years, the title of my book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, is a formula to try to say, look, you don't have to do that. There is no magic to it. I'm not saying you can retire on nothing. I'm not saying you can retire with a giant mortgage. I'm not saying that everyone can do it. In fact, some of the criticism of the book is that you lay this out as though this is an easy thing and you still have to save a lot of money in order to do what I say to do, retire sooner than you think. My benchmark is that you want to try to get to at least $500,000 and I want you to have no mortgage. Those are the two main financial components that make a comfortable retirement possible. Doesn't have to be $500,000. Doesn't have to be $1 million. Doesn't have to be $500,000. It can be somewhat less than that. Remember, you got Social Security. Maybe you have a pension. There are a lot of other variables that can get you to the point where you do not have to listen to Susie and work all the way until 70 or older. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. We've got a little bit of time for your calls and questions. I want to talk about earnings and what these taxes or potential tax changes really mean and what they can mean for markets. Again, that's what we're really worried about. We had a good call in the last segment about the potential for small business tax reform. If you're are you an S corp? What kind of business are you in? Well, the Senate says we're going to do a 17% reduction or deduction for you. The House bill says we're going to tax your income at two different levels. One's going to be lower, potentially. So there's a lot of moving parts here. But from what I can tell, even though you'll see in the news that tax reform is dead and these bills are totally far apart, they're really not that far apart. And that, to me, shows us that there is momentum, and I think there is agreement within Congress. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but I think something gets done here. And I think it gets done in the beginning of 2018. So let's continue to talk this through. The number here in the studio for your calls and questions here on this Sunday morning, it's 46 degrees. I feel like this is really the first winter weekend we've had. I spent all day yesterday in Peachtree City outside at a lacrosse tournament for one of my oldest son. We were outside starting at 8 a.m. and it was pretty cold, freezing cold. And I was outside all day. I feel a little windburned, but I feel I'm excited that it's fall/winter weather is here. So let's go through and talk about what these earnings could potentially look like. So here we are today. If you look at what earnings have happened, and this is the conversation of, hey, this market's so high, why has it gone up so much? Is it sustainable? Is it not? Most companies, so we've just gotten through, for the most part, earnings season. 91% of companies have reported in this for the third quarter. 74% of those companies have reported a positive surprise, and 2/3 of those companies, and this is, I think, important, they've reported positive sales surprises. So revenue is going up faster. So companies are doing business. It's not just cutting the bottom line and cutting expenses and firing people and reducing costs. This is a revenue story. This is a story of the economy's getting better and stronger. Earnings growth, again, for the quarter, so quarter three, over 6% for the S&P 500. That's a big deal. Seven sectors have reported earnings growth for the quarter. And energy, which has been a lagger for, if you go back a couple of years, energy was the main culprit of the earnings recession we saw in 2014, 2015. Energy has come back with a vengeance. So earnings, they've gotten better. Now, valuation is always the question. Forward 12-month PE ratio, again, this is the price tag on the market, as we refer to, is around 18. That's a little expensive. Over time, what's normal? Well, about 16.5. So today, we're at around 18, not a tremendous amount of overvaluation, but still on the pricey side. Now, if, what do earnings look like tomorrow or over the next year or once we get corporate tax reform? Well, today, if we drop rates, so again, the top rate now in corporations is 35%. A lot of companies have deductions just like people do. And the effective tax rates for corporations are around 27, 28%. If corporate tax rates do get, in fact, dropped to 20%, or let's call it a number in the 23 range, and the effective rate is lower because you'll still get deductions, and we see an effective rate of 20%, you're going to see a 7%, not bad, a 7% rise in overall earnings. If we do, in fact, get a 15% rate, so let's call it a 20% corporate tax rate, so the effective rate drops down to 15, we're going to see a 14% rise in overall earnings. That would put a market that is today trading around 18 times earnings, forward earnings, back to 16.5, and that's where we want it to be, back to, quote, normal. And there's really no such thing as normal. It's just that we get to a point where the market's not overvalued anymore. It's fairly valued. So that, to me, is really what we have to watch for. There's a reason tax reform has only been done one time in almost a century. It's a messy, enormously difficult process. Every single line, if you think about it, this, every single line in the tax code is there for a reason. Somebody lobbied for it. Some companies, trade groups, like the National Association of Home Builders, who's weighing in on this debate because they don't want Congress to mess with the mortgage deduction. One of the plans messes with the mortgage deduction. So every single deduction that's in there is in there for a reason. And somebody spent millions of dollars to have the tax code positively impact their economic interests. We spent a lot of time last year talking about the lobby index, companies that know how to get things done in Washington. It's no surprise that those companies have earnings that outperform the market. So something like, again, the mortgage deduction is almost seen as a birthright for a lot of Americans. So every tiny change, we're overcoming years of lobbying and millions of dollars spent. And these items like the mortgage deduction are entrenched in the American psyche. So that being said, major legislation almost never just passes with ease. So I would expect something like this to take a long time. And I think you'll see it look like, hey, is this thing on life support or is it not on life support? And you're going to hear the death of tax reform may be greatly exaggerated depending on the current environment, depending on what's happening with Congress, depending on what Donald Trump does. So we're going to see a lot of back and forth, and it's going to take its toll on the market. You're going to see days where we lose 1% like we did last Thursday. We're going to see volatility come back. But ultimately, I think it gets done. So we're in purgatory for now. We're in tax purgatory for now. We're in confusion for now. Markets hate uncertainty. They can't stand confusion. And that's exactly what we're going to be mired in for the foreseeable future. But we also know that markets are not pricing in tax reform. So the stock market, and you can look at this a lot of different ways. You can find and look and track companies that would have the highest benefit from tax reform getting done, and they're not responding. So if the market really thought tax reform was going to get done, you'd see a lift in these corporations. We haven't seen it yet. So that tells me that the price or the benefit of tax reform is not yet baked in and not priced in to where markets are today. So if it does get pushed through, again, not likely till next year, it's going to be good for business and it's going to be very good for investors. And that's what you and I care about. When we get back, we've got Weekend Prize Pack. You are listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. You can find me and our team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Well, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Money Matters back live. Ryan Ely, Prize Pack, my friend.
The WSB Weekend Prize Pack is a pair of tickets to see the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's classical series performance of Verdi's Requiem on November 18th at Atlanta Symphony Hall, and a family four-pack of tickets to an Atlanta Gladiators home game at Infinite Energy Arena. Caller number 11, the prize pack is yours.
And that's 404-741-0750, 404-741-0750. Going to go to the phones here. Terrell joins us from McDonough. What's going on? How can I help?
Good morning. Married couple with 50% of income coming from Social Security, of a total income of about $80,000. A tentative review indicates that I'm income tax is going to go up from $4,800 to $6,900. What am I missing?
Well, so there is a lot of talk about. When you say tentative review, are you doing some sort of calculator?
On last year's H&R Block.
Did they gave you a proposal under the new tax regime?
No,
or are you
no.
just talking about your taxes went up this year?
Just reading the HR bill.
Oh. Again, from what I can tell, I don't see how your income bracket gets a tax increase. From every model that I've seen, there's a little bit of a decrease, but not dramatic is the thing. I mean, I'm looking here. This is from the Tax Foundation. If you're in the 85 range, this is an example of a married couple. You're looking at a tax increase or a tax decrease of about $1,600 if you're $85,000. Now that's with two kids. You don't have that deduction. It might be less than that. It might be a 0.5%. But what I have also been reading about is that if Congress ends up changing the way either Social Security goes up and they change it from a regular CPI, and this, Terrell, I think is what you need to worry about, if they change the calculation from regular CPI to chained CPI, and if they also do that for the tax brackets, meaning that if inflation is rising and your income is rising faster than they allow the brackets to rise, you could end up seeing a tax decrease, which I still think you get a small tax decrease on this, could over time, and I've read about this in several different studies, let's call it over the next 10 years into 2027, you could see a tax decrease turn into a slight tax increase just because of the way the government uses or what they choose to use to calculate inflation and the brackets. Find me, the Money Matters.